Outline of Sermon at Delivered over radio station Koret, Eugene, Oregon. Week beginning October 8, 1933, by Herbert W. Armstrong. Saturday morning, October 14, 33. The Gospel of the Kingdom. This morning we conclude the message of the Gospel of the Kingdom which we have been presenting to you over the station each morning this week. We have seen that this Gospel of the Kingdom is the Gospel Jesus preached, the Gospel the Apostles preached, the Gospel Jesus commissioned all ministers to preach. We have seen that Jesus came to confirm the promises made to the fathers, that the fathers were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the promises made to them were the land of Canaan, now called Palestine, from the Nile to the Euphrates rivers, and that this land was promised for an everlasting possession, and that these promises involved not only possession of this land, but also eternal life, or immortality. We saw that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and countless others who are their seed through Christ are heirs with them of these promises, and that they all died, not having received the promises. We have seen that they shall receive them at the resurrection of the just, and that this resurrection will be at the precise time of the second coming of Christ, when the righteous then living shall be translated into the immortal condition. When Christ comes again, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all saints who ever lived shall be raised to immortal life, and then it is they inherit the promised land. Then it is Christ shall set up his throne, the throne of David. Then it is the literal kingdom of God shall be established visibly and literally upon earth, and Christ shall reign forever. Eventually the kingdom will spread from its original territory between the Nile and the Euphrates rivers until it fills the whole earth. That is the kingdom of God. The question this morning is, how shall we inherit it, and become co-heirs of the promises with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Will you turn with me now to Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Compare this with Acts 13:32-33, and we declare unto you glad tidings, the gospel, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So the promises were actually made to Christ, who is the seed to whom they were made. And it is only through Christ, and through his resurrection that these promises may be fulfilled in us. Now let us look once more at Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. If you are Christ's, you have become an heir to a place in that promised land and eternal life which goes with it. Now our question is, how shall we become Christ's? Jesus said, as he came preaching this gospel of the kingdom of God, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye, and believe the gospel. Here are two conditions to salvation: first, repent, and second, believe. But we have seen that to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ means also to believe the gospel, or good news, which he brought, and here the Master himself says repent, and believe the gospel, and both the 14th and 15th verses tell us what gospel we are to believe: the gospel of the kingdom. Peter, under inspiration of the full baptism with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, told us what to do: first, repent, and then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But Philip made plain to the eunuch, Acts 8:36-37, that we may not be baptized until we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So Peter's instruction be baptized presupposes faith in Jesus and the message he brought. Peter said that when we had complied with these two conditions, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38, and the next verse tells us the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and me today. Now you are Christ's if, and when, you have received the Holy Spirit. And unless you have received the Holy Spirit, you are not of his. That is what Paul says in Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You are mortal. Christ only has immortality, I Tim 6:16. It is the gift God has promised all who will repent and accept it through Christ, John 3:16. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the life-giving, impregnating element - the germ of eternal life. Paul explains that the eternal life which is promised only in the resurrection, is like planting a grain of wheat, or some other grain. When planted in the ground, it dies, then springs up into a new life - provided the germ is in the grain. You can plant 1,000 bushels of potatoes, but if you have cut out all the eyes - the life-producing germ - they will produce no future life. So it is with this body. We are mortal. There is no eternal life germ within us. If we die without having received it, our body will rot in the ground, but it will never be raised to eternal life. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have received the germ of life, and all who die with God's Holy Spirit within shall be raised incorruptible into immortal life. Read the whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's seed, and an heir of the eternal promises. And you are Christ's if you have received the Holy Spirit, and in order to receive the Holy Spirit, we must comply with the terms, to repent, and believe on Jesus, which means also to believe the message he brought concerning this coming kingdom. Then, when you have been baptized, you have God's promise that you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Receive him in faith. The trouble is, we do not really repent, we do not wholly surrender to God. Repent means change your mind, change your actions, change your ways. It means turn around and go the other way. It means to be completely conquered by God, utterly subdued, until we are ready to say in all things, not my will, O Father, but thine, be done, until we are ready to give up all, wanting our own way in all things. But most of us are holding out on God somewhere. And you who are regular churchgoers, and think you are safe and saved, heed this admonition, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Icor 10:12. Our church people today are indifferent, careless, lukewarm, and God foretold this condition and said he would spew the lukewarm out of his mouth. Revelation 3:16. Remember the parable of the five foolish virgins, in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Because the bridegroom tarried, and delayed his coming, they all slumbered and slept. That's just what the church is doing today, sleeping. It's time to wake up, examine ourselves, surrender anew, get down on our knees and spend some real time in earnest heart-rending prayer. Now in closing, I want you to consider 2 points about the kingdom. First, nothing that defile can enter in. Revelation 21:27. Without holiness none shall see the Lord. Hebrew 12:14. That means Christ in us. Second, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Icor 15:50. This is in the chapter where Paul is talking about the resurrection, and it means only immortal people can get into the kingdom. So the kingdom is not the church. We can meet these conditions only by complete surrender to God. If you are not a Christian, surrender to God now, this morning, where you are. You do not have to be in a church. Do it where you are. Do it now. Throw yourself upon his mercy, accept Jesus and his shed blood for the remission of your sins, believe the good news of the coming kingdom, be baptized, confess him before men. He loves you, and he'll save you and give you an inheritance in the wonderful soon coming kingdom. If you profess to be a Christian, then heed Jesus' warning, found in Luke 21:31, 34, 36, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. He is speaking of the things we now see coming to pass in the world. Then the kingdom is now near at hand, and is not here yet. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come. Watch ye, therefore, and pray always. Available first from Friends of the Sabbath website www.friendsofsabbath.org.